Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. To put today into perspective, yesterday was the day that Tom Brady took down the Green Bay Packers, okay, at Lambeau Field, and the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. There's your sports update in case you missed it, and it gives us a perspective for January 25th, 2021. I'm Larry Jacobs, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. We have a wonderful show with good friends of ours. Steve Messler and Darius Stevens are here. They're from the Classroom Champions, and you're going to find out what they do for social-emotional learning. It's really cool stuff, and it's a whole idea of creating role models for kids that allows them to see how great they can be. And Steve and Darius will tell us all about that. As you know, we're now part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. If you go over there, you can join with us in our never-ending fight for equity in education in pre-K-12 and even beyond, if I may, ace-ed.org. Our magazine is there called Equity in Access. Our new issue will be up on site Wednesday or maybe Thursday, but we're looking at Wednesday, our January-February issue. And the issue we have up there now is excellent, the Classroom Champions issue. You're really going to Classroom Champions, Champions of Equity, Classroom Champions is my guest today, Champions of Equity issue. We're going to continue that theme in the Jan-Feb issue as well. So go over, see what we're doing. There's an icon for podcasts. All right, and if you click on that, you'll be able to see our schedule and all the shows that we've done over a long period of time. All right, hope you do all that. All of our icons for Facebook and Twitter are there, but if you want to follow what we're doing here specifically on radio, it's over at EduTalk Radio on Twitter and at Larry Jacobs and Education Talk Radio on Facebook and Larry Jacobs on LinkedIn. Okay, Classroom Champions, speaking of champions, that's what we're going to be talking about. And even though Steve may be in charge, ladies first. Hi, Darry.
Good morning. How are you? Or good afternoon for you.
Good afternoon. It's about 3 minutes past noontime here in the East Coast where it's like 14 degrees, and I'm sure it's about the same thing in Los Angeles, right?
We're a little bit warmer, but we did have rain and wind last night, so I feel
okay,
you.
So it must be like 15 or 16 degrees, right?
Exactly.
Warmer. Right. Okay. Very good. And now the man who, I have to say this to you, Steve, and I'm sorry for you, the man from Buffalo, New York, now living in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, which was actually the answer to a Jeopardy question last week, okay? But sorry about the Bills, Steve Messler. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Larry, and good morning, Gary.
Are you Thank feeling
you
all right?
We're doing okay this morning. We had a great season, so I cannot complain.
You did. You had a fabulous season, okay? And I do like the Bills, even though the Patriots are in the same division, but the Patriots will be back on top around 2067 as soon as they can nurture a new quarterback from fetus level, okay? Get that going.
If you have to wait as long as us Bills fans did to win a division title, then you should be ready by about 2045 would be your next.
I know, and the Bills used to be so great. Every time I think of the Bills, I think it's good old Tim Russert. But I'm sorry, Darry, are we boring you or any of the audience? I'm sorry, Darry.
Not at all. Good. You remember, I'm a Pats fan. So,
I'm a Marblehead girl. I know that. So, Marblehead man. I used to live in Swampscott. So that's cool. Anyway, Steve, tell us about. Good luck to the Bills next year. Okay, may your bills come in, and I don't mean that in the financial sense. Or pay off your bills. Okay, Steve, tell us about Classroom Champions. You're the CEO and co-founder, along with your sister, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, my sister, Dr. Lee Parisi, who is an education researcher over at MDRC in New York City these days.
There you go.
Classroom Champions is a social-emotional learning organization that we founded a little over 10 years ago at this point. And our goal is we help schools bring social-emotional learning to life. And we've done it virtually for the last 10 years. And our main mechanism is we use sports and athletes to help teach very socially active SEL lessons like goal setting and leadership and community.
And you just said you're doing it. You've done it virtually for the last 10 years.
We've done it virtually. Right? We've done it virtually from the beginning. We're using athletes who are traveling the world. We're not using the old has-beens like myself. We are using the currently competing folks, the Olympians and Paralympians who are heading to Tokyo this summer. We're working with NFL players. Three of the Buffalo Bills that just played last night are mentors within Classroom Champions. So we're using the athletes, and the athletes are volunteering who are in their motion. They're going through the ups and downs right now.
Cool. I'm sure. Dari, what do you have to do? And I want you to talk about this in detail. What are you doing with the Classroom Champions? Steve is a CEO and co-founder. By the way, I know the answer to that question, but I want you to articulate it. Dari.
Sure. So I come with the teacher perspective. So like many of the staff at Classroom Champions, I taught for over 10 years, and then I segued into the ed tech world, working on curriculum development, research, and marketing. So I have been working with Classroom Champions for the past year, looking at how they could take this 10-year program and create a whole turnkey K-8 curriculum. So now Classroom Champions, in addition to the mentorship program, also offers this Classroom Champions SEL Foundations curriculum, which allows teachers to integrate SEL throughout their teaching, cross-curricular, on a monthly basis. So it's not just a one-and-done model. It's something that we can weave in. Yep, daily for the entire year.
ClassroomChampions.org, everybody. What did you teach, Dari? I didn't know you were a teacher.
I started at sixth grade and then went to fifth grade and ended with third grade.
Wow, you were an elementary school teacher of all things. And, of course, you are an author. Push the book before we get back into this. Give the book a push. Good. She's famous. She's on the Today Show. Go ahead. Talk real quick.
It has nothing to do with education. It's a fluffy
book
called Spooning.
Right. It's cool.
So, comes out of my love of storytelling with kids.
Yeah, it's a spooning. I just wanted to push that. Dari, you were a teacher. You taught many grades. You just explained that. Now you work with Classroom Champions, role models, social emotional learning. You were a teacher. Talk about why you find this so important to use role models with kids from your teacher point of view.
So I think absolutely. It goes at the core of everything a teacher does, right, on a daily basis. They balance the academic with kind of the overall well-being of a child's development. And so when you think about a role model, you want to give kids people to aspire to emulate, people who lead by example. And this can be in their families. It's often teachers and coaches. You know, but we know they're also finding role models elsewhere, and we want to make sure that those role models are positive and not negative influences.
Yeah.
And that's
thank
everything
you.
From, you know, from a, yeah.
Go ahead, Bill, keep going. I meant thank you.
Oh,
I agree with you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. It's everything, you know, from a teacher perspective, how I greeted the kids at the beginning of the day to how I'd hold a pipette, like a science instrument, or how I'd use intonation in my voice when I was reading aloud. But it also is the everyday behaviors, too. So how do you get, you know, resolve a conflict? How do you celebrate the small wins with a simple high five? So teaching those kids those life lessons that are applicable in the classroom, but also cross into life skills in general from when they're outside the classroom.
But I couldn't agree with you more. And Steve, what got you into this? Because I want to say it this way. Obviously, a positive role model is important to kids, and people know that intrinsically, instinctively, however you want to say that. Okay, but you did something more, and I want to say also you were an Olympic gold medalist, by the way, just in case I would put that into perspective there. You want to talk about that, you can. But what put this all in what made you do all this, Steve? Where did you see, what did you do, et cetera? Go ahead. CEO and co-founder of Classroom Champions.
Thank you for asking. I mean, that's the core of where we started Classroom Champions is really one of my biggest passions about the organization, the nonprofit itself, which is we saw it in two different ways. I mean, one of those things, we saw it from the athlete perspective. I was going into my third Olympics for the U.S., going into the 2010 Olympics. I was on the phone with my sister, who was at the time getting her PhD in education and had been a teacher, and our parents had been teachers, and I had been a teacher, and I would go into schools, I'd give a talk, and then I'd leave, and I'd never see those kids ever again. And it was the experience that we've all had. If we were a kid, we were a teacher, we were a parent, or if you were the person on the other end of it, which was either a successful sports person or a business person or anybody in the community, that's been the model for centuries. That's how we interact with schools. We go in, we give a talk, and then we leave.
That's thoughtful.
And we, at the same time, I was tired of that. I was tired every day.
Thought-provoking. Yeah, sorry. Good.
Is that, you know, the model of, you know, doing something, you know, being successful at things in life is not one and done. It is not, you know, you don't just to build a career, you don't get to go give one talk and then your career is, you know, made. You've had to go to school. You've had to have a process. And for me, I was tired of giving that talk and then, like, really having no idea if anything I said or did made a difference and not being able to really connect with kids. And then on the other side of it, my sister saw that a few things, which is that, one, teachers weren't really prepared, and she as a teacher wasn't prepared of how to handle these things, whether it was simply how do you teach your kids to set a goal and follow that, to how do you get kids to get along better. So teachers weren't trained in that. And then lastly, there's an unending need for kids to have positive people in their lives. And, infinite information out there. One of the things that kind of, from me, really sticks out to the crux of the problem is that what we know is that the number of role models or the percentage of role models in a community correlates directly to the dropout rate in that community. The more role models you have in a community, the lower the dropout rate is. The higher, Jonathan Crane did some research in the early 90s. But what's even more impactful, especially when we're talking about D&I, and especially when we're talking about communities of color, or we're talking about underserved areas, you're actually seeing that as you get towards lower and lower percentages of role models in a community, the dropout rates tend to spike. So it's not necessarily just a straight line. Mm-hmm. It actually curves straight up and skyrockets as you hit these communities that only have 3%, 4%, 5% of people in the communities that are role models. And role models would be considered, you know, people with.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Yeah.
So that the way that they did in their research, the way that they looked at it was they used U.S. Census Bureau data. They looked at incarceration. They looked at employment. So they looked at all those factors, and then they boiled down to that. That doesn't necessarily mean that somebody isn't a good role model if they have been imprisoned or if they don't have a job by any means or any stretch of the imagination. But it's about as quality of a metric as you could use. So we saw a handful of things, and that's how we built Classroom Champions out of like the need for the athletes to feel like they're making a better difference and understanding that they have more to offer than just teaching kids to do sports. The need for the teachers to have some kind of either training or teaching partner in the classroom to help them with these kind of abstract things that are outside of the general curriculum, what a lot of teachers call the hidden curriculum. And then from a student aspect, where knowing that putting more role models into their lives will do nothing but help them.
You know, it's interesting. Last time we talked, we've talked several times, you hadn't talked about that perspective of, quote, being the role model, being the speaker, and going in and you give your speech, which is probably pretty damn good, and your program, maybe it has slides and all that, and the kids yell and cheer, and you walk away, but you never hear anything more.
Yeah.
Okay? And I thought that's a really interesting perspective. We always hear it from the other point of view. That's cool. Yeah,
and you probably had good things to say, but did it correlate exactly with what the teachers needed or what their struggles were at the
time?
And
what's the result?
What's the result? Maybe not. Exactly. I mean, I think back on – I also grew up – you know, growing up in the 90s, I grew up with – I'm not sure if you remember the commercial, the I Am Not a Role Model commercial with Charles Barkley.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that a lot of your listeners out there, I'm sure, will remember that, and it was quite a controversial thing. And at the end of the day, you know, he's right. Like, just because he got paid millions of dollars to play basketball didn't mean that he should be raising your kids. And that was his sentiment. A lot of people took that as him shunning his responsibility. In fact, what he was trying to do was he was trying to encourage parents to get involved. Look, don't just throw your kids in front of a television to watch basketball and expect me to teach them the life skills. Like, get involved. So, you know, from my perspective, I thought, hey, look, we can actually do this both ways. We can actually put athletes in front of kids to be a role model while at the same time, you know, empowering those athletes and then empowering teachers and empowering families.
And you said something else that really, really struck me, you know, about communities of color. And as you know, I'm an NBA and an NFL fan and all that sort of stuff. And I see an awful lot of terrific black athletes out there, and guys and ladies, I might add, who are excellent, would be excellent role models. Okay, but we're to those kids, they are people of color, as are these communities. Okay, are we taking advantage of that? Are the athletes who are people of color doing enough to help the communities of color? Has that changed over the course of time, based on what you said before?
Yeah. It's a good question. I think this generation of athlete is more engaged than any generation before.
Seems to me, yeah.
These athletes really, really get it. And I think they get their role in society a lot more, whether it's an athlete of color, whether it's a white athlete or whatever it is, you're actually seeing athletes in a lot more involved in meaningful ways, not just throwing their name on something. And that was Classroom Champions. The heart of our, athlete engagement from the beginning was to say to an athlete, look, there's a lot of places out there that you can put your name up in lights and you can help draw attention to a nonprofit or a cause. Fantastic. At Classroom Champions, if you're going to do this, you're actually part of the cause. You are one of the people who is going to be teaching kids these skills. And sometimes you can do it in mentorship-style ways, where our Mentorship Plus program actually assigns athletes to classrooms or grade-level teams or schools for an entire school year. Or you can do it where you're helping create content. But either way, you're going to do something meaningful when you're here. And I think that's the real interesting difference of what we're seeing in today's athletes, rather than something that a couple decades ago.
So I'll ask you or Darry, and I'll throw it out to both of you, whichever one wants to answer is fine. Not every athlete is a great role model, okay? Be they person of color or not, just by nature of human nature, okay?
Yeah.
How do you vet or recruit the right people to be the role models for, in many cases of what Classroom Champions does, young children? Okay. Darry, do you want to do that one, or do you want Steve to do that one?
I'll let Steve talk about the vetting, and then I can talk a little bit about also where these athletes, where screen time has a play these days.
Okay,
social media.
Let's do that. Thanks, Darry.
So, I think it's such an interesting question, Larry, is, how do you, because,
that's why they pay me the big bucks, Steve. That's why they pay me the big bucks. They ask these interesting questions. Yes, go ahead.
Clearly.
Yep.
It's an interesting thought, which is to your point. Just because you're an athlete, you're not a role model.
Yeah.
Just because you're Olympian, and that is kind of a sticker that gets stuck on people. Hey, you're an Olympian. Go be a role model. And a lot of our athletes will say, I want to be a role model, but I literally don't know what that means. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to talk about. I want to, but I don't. So we have a vetting process that we have two people on our team that are both athletes. One of them, our athlete mentor manager, is a woman named Emily Cook, who's a three-time Olympian in freestyle aerials, actually. So they're really crazy up in the air and do a bunch of tricks and land on your feet, on your skis kind of thing. And then Tiffany Parker, Tiff is a former track athlete who's actually currently training for the bobsled herself. Two athletes, they vet. We have an application process for athletes to be a part of it. We actually work with a third-party screening company who does background checks on them. We do social media checks.
Cool.
And it's not necessarily that we're looking to make sure that they don't have a criminal background, of which we are, but it is that we want to make sure it's deeper than
deeper
that.
Than
it
that.
Is like we don't expect, and I don't expect, a role model to be perfect. A role model to me is somebody who, they are being an example. Their behavior, their successes, they can be emulated, especially by younger people. And, so I use an old friend of mine who I went to college with named Abby Wambach. Abby is considered to be one of, if not the best, female soccer player in the world.
I know that name.
Abby is Rochester girl, actually. And, she was a year younger than me at University of Florida. And, Abby is good people. Abby came out in college coming out in college in the mid-90s was not an easy task for her to do. She came out as gay in the 90s.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, yep.
And which, again, way more acceptable now, but in the mid-90s,
it was
way
tougher.
Not
yep.
acceptable.
Very brave.
And so Abby's, like, formed a personality that is a tough exterior, but is just a really, really good person and does things right and has a work ethic. And Abby had a DUI a handful of years ago. And just because Abby had a DUI does not mean anymore that she can't be a good role model. Because the next day, Abby apologized, Abby owned her behavior, and Abby did what all of us want kids to do, which is, hey, look, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. But Abby stepped up to the plate and owned it. And that's the kind of person we're looking for. Because we have hundreds of athletes at Classroom Champions who volunteer their time to mentor kids. And we don't expect them to be perfect. They are young. They are, you know, in the prime of their, like, physical peak of their life. They're going to make mistakes. But are we making sure that we have the quality of person who is going mm-hmm. to own those mistakes? Because that, in fact, is going to be a better lesson for kids to learn than somebody who kind of, like, would be quote-unquote perfect. So that's,
well
how, we,
said,
that's
friend.
How we work with our athletes.
I think that's great. And, of course, regarding Abby and her DUI, you are not what you are on the worst day of your life. Okay, you're
that's
not that
person.
That's
a great way to put it.
Yeah,
great way
you know,
to put
so,
it.
And I think that's just, you know, she's a good choice, let's put it that way, for many, many reasons. Dari, you were going to talk about the virtualness of this and how it works.
Yeah, well, first I just want to mention, I think, you know, when you talk about role models, there's a continuum, right? Like, how do you move kids beyond just finding an influencer in today's social media that they look to and really bring them along that continuum to role model and mentor? Because there's so many, we know that kids, New York Times just had an article last week that screen time has doubled since by May during
yep.
the pandemic. And we already know that, like, Common Sense Media talks about 8 to 12-year-olds, right, not even teenagers. They're spending an average of 4.5 hours online, not including schoolwork, and that was before the pandemic. So we know kids are finding and being influenced by people they don't know. And like you said, it's not always positive. It can be negative. So how do we move kids beyond the screen and really give them positive role models and take that to the mentorship level? And that's where, in Classroom Champions, these kids have a deep familiarity with their athlete mentors. And I find it, the teacher in me, my heart warms hearing the kids talk about their friends. And they really do form these relationships with these athlete mentors because they're speaking with them and communicating on a monthly basis. You know, athletes are tweeting back to teachers, you know, remarking on classroom's accomplishments, and kids can tell you what their mentor's favorite color is or their favorite ice cream flavor because they've talked about it and they've asked them these questions in real time during live chats. So they really do form these relationships with these mentors, and those are the kinds of role models. And like Steve said, everybody's fallible, you know, but you learn from your mistakes, and as a teacher, everything's a teachable moment. So how do you capitalize on those?
Yeah, good point.
And give keep people those, you know, people to aspire to be like.
Right. It's so important. And Dari, continue on this because I don't know if people understand this. Let's take you, Ms. Dari Stevens, fourth grade class, whatever. Okay. Classroom Champions, you guys work with Classroom Champions. Okay, classroomchampions.org, by the way, everybody. All right, so what happens, Dari, is one athlete assigned to your 25 kids? How's it work? Dari Stevens, Ms. Stevens.
So there are two different programs that teachers can sign up for. First of all, they can sign up for a free trial to be able to access the Unit 1, which is called Goal Setting. So they can check out what the lessons are, how involved they are. It's all available digitally. So it works now, whether classes are in person or still being held remotely. But they can check out what the lessons are. And there are 8 units that teachers can spread out over a school year. And the lessons are really multimedia rich. So a lot of videos of our athlete mentors giving advice that are tied to the lessons. We also have a full library called Mindful Minutes. So there are these short kind of advice pieces, words of wisdom from our athlete mentors that teachers can use at any point during the day. Let's say there's a playground fight or something like that. And then there's Mentorship Plus, where teachers can get the full K-8 curriculum as well as be assigned an athlete mentor. And these are the mentors that then communicate with classrooms on a monthly basis, and then they have a couple live chats with the classrooms or school throughout the school year. But that's where the real relationship between the athlete mentors and the students form, is the Mentorship Plus program. But the SEL curriculum is core to both, because those are the lessons that teachers can really take and own and adapt to their students' needs.
Okay, so I want to ask this, because we've got a lot of teachers listening. So they can take a free trial at classroomchampions.org, and that gives them the first unit. Okay, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Dari. The first unit includes advice and talks, et cetera, from athletes, but it's not interactive with the athlete. Is that correct?
Correct, but it's very media-rich. There are videos with athlete mentors exposing kids to their points of view.
Cool. That explains. Then the Mentorship Plus, you have a more interactive and a longer term, okay, with the given athlete, right?
Correct. It's a school year long program.
See, I'm teachable. You can do this with me. I'm teachable. Okay, I get it.
And the outcomes we have on the website too. We have a great impact report which talks about the outcomes of this program. So, you know, the increase in academic performance, the increase in attendance, the positive behaviors, the decrease in bullying. It really, it's amazing the numbers. It truly is. And again, this goes beyond just the classroom and the four walls into the school community and their local neighborhoods. So it really is. It's a long lasting program effect-wise.
I know for a fact it is. And I'll throw this out to both of you, but I'll just start with Dari. Put it into perspective now. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why when I say now, obviously because of the pandemic. And we have a lot of kids who aren't in their classrooms, or it's hybrid learning, remote, back and forth, all that sort of stuff. And there was just an article in the New York Times yesterday, Sunday, it would have been January 24th, about Las Vegas is trying to get their kids back in school because the suicide rate, if you can believe this, I hate stories, of students in the Las Vegas schools is skyrocketing. It's geometrically worse than it was prior. And obviously one is bad enough. So when you start talking larger numbers than that, even in a large school district, it's not good. Okay. So put it into perspective. And Dari, I'll throw it to you, but then you can throw it to Steve. Throw Classroom Champions into perspective for right now, if you can.
Sure. I mean, the life lessons we all need right now about perseverance and resilience, right? There will be a better day. It's coming, but how do you get through the day-to-day slog of it all right now?
As a kid, right?
And we don't know the full extent of what kids are seeing or experiencing at home as their families are struggling with these tough times, financially, job-wise, abuse. There's all sorts of the stats are going to be staggering, as we're already seeing. But so we need to be able to equip our kids to really be resilient and strong throughout this. And then I think it's also as adults realizing our roles, like, the old adage, put on your oxygen mask before helping your children or those around you. I think both parents and teachers need to recognize the importance of self-care themselves, so that then they can pass along their best lessons and behaviors to kids. There's a new focus right now and a lot of information online around trauma-informed practice. So we do a lot at Classroom Champions. We do a lot of professional growth webinars and sessions, and we have a teacher summit this week where we've reached capacity to help teachers with these best practices so that they in turn can support their students and their students' families.
That's wonderful. How'd that summit work out? Dari or Steve? Do you want to continue, Dari, or Steve going to pick up? The
summit's happening this week, actually. So we had opened it up
week.
To.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
forgive me.
We opened
it
up
next week. I'm sorry. Last week.
Yeah, we opened it up to some teachers that are outside of our Classroom Champions, like active schools and networks. And as Dari said, we're closing that up. We had the group that the limited amount that we wanted to be on there. So we will let you know how it goes, though. We've got some great guests that are coming to come on.
Please do. you want to make up a press release on that, and we'll get that out there for you. That's a good reminder for you, okay? I'm quite serious about that. You can send it to others besides us, okay? It's so important. Steve, did you want to comment any more about Classroom Champions during the pandemic, during this age of crazy remote learning? Do you want to say anything more? Crazy times.
You can. Yeah. It is. I mean, the whole thing, right? I mean, my wife and I are sitting here last night, and sometimes you can't do it every day, and I'm sure we all do this.
No.
You can't every single day go, oh, my God, what is the world like? But
yes.
Sometimes,
eventually
you know,
normal,
we kind of eventually becomes normal. But also, you know, my wife and I decided a little while ago, like, look, every now and then we're just going to step back and kind of look at the amazement of this whole thing. We're not going to do it every day because it's just too exhausting. It's too exhausting to get yourself wrapped up into what, you know, things that are happening in politics. And you're also, it's too exhausting to get yourself wrapped up here. But yes, from the perspective of like how this has changed life. And I mean, I look at this as, and there's a lot of research out there that shows people learn through three different ways. I mean, we learn through direct teaching and learning. So that's what school has been a lot about. We're going to teach you, you're going to learn it, and then you're going to be able to either regurgitate it or you're going to understand it. We learn through experience, which is why we put our kids in sports. It's why we have project-based learning in schools. It's where trauma comes from. It's the experiences that we have and what we learn from those experiences. And then the third way is role modeling. We watch somebody do something, and then we follow suit. We see that if it's okay for the president of the United States to make fun of people, then that becomes more, you know, salient in society.
That's
right. What we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years. Well, when you think about those three ways, we've been able to continue the direct teaching and learning to a degree. Teachers, unfortunately, have been stuck in a way where they didn't get taught to online teach. This is
no,
not
they
part
didn't.
Of their, you know, college courses. This is
That's
not
right.
part of their, you know,
hopefully
experience.
That will change.
And, you know,
yeah.
Hopefully that I would assume
yeah.
that it will. I'm sure
yeah.
there's a lot of universities and colleges out there figuring those courses out as we speak. Experience, that second portion of experience has certainly changed. Kids are not getting the wealth of experiences, whether that be learning how to, stand up there for their friends in the hallway when they're getting bullied or go out and do sports and do all those things. And then role modeling is also hard because kids aren't getting exposure to other people. And that's where
right.
Classroom Champions has really thrived during the pandemic, is we're still able to provide those role models. And because we've always done it virtually, frankly, it's impossible for an athlete who's training for Tokyo or the Beijing Olympics, let's use Alana Myers-Taylor, who is over in Europe right now competing in the World Cup Tour bobsled. She is three-time Olympic medalist for the U.S. She is the first African-American woman to have that many medals in the Winter Olympic Games. She's got 3 medals from 3 Olympics. And, oh, by the way, she's a new mom to a son with Down syndrome. And she is bringing Nico on tour. That is the person we want our kids to learn from. That is the role model. And, by the way, she also has her MBA. Her husband's a was an athlete and was a chiropractor. Those are the people, her and her husband, Nick Taylor, is also part of our SEL Foundation's curriculum. Those are the people we want our kids learning from. So that's where Classroom Champions has really helped fill that gap for schools, is we're helping them put the right people in front of kids, because Lord knows when kids go home and get on their devices, they're likely not seeing the people that we want them to be learning from. So we can help teachers. We can help teachers put that in. Exactly. We can help put teachers put that stuff into their days. And the power that is to just make sure that kids continue to see people who are doing things the right way is, you know, probably one of our number one responsibilities right now as a society.
Well, it sure is. Well said, all that, Steve. And I got to ask you, okay, we're winding down here. We have a few minutes left. How do you match class to the athlete? Not every athlete is the right person for every class. How do you match the two?
We asked teachers, and we started doing this practice recently. We asked teachers or principals, whoever is the lead on the program at the school. We asked them for our Mentorship Plus program. We asked them give us the kind of demographics that you're looking for: male, female. Person of color, are you interested in having somebody with a disability as a Paralympian? be the person for your classroom. And then we try to match those as well as we can. But ultimately, all of the athletes who do this are great people and are, you know, ultimately turned into the right people for those schools.
Yeah.
So we ask the schools what they feel is most needed in their classrooms and schools. And we've had specifically, teachers who say, look, my kids really, really need a strong Black role model in their lives. And we will do our best to match them.
It's good stuff, man. You guys got it together, I'll tell you. Okay, we got to go, but we're going to do more, quite obviously. Okay, Dari, thanks a million. You're wonderful, as you know.
Thank you.
Okay, you're just terrific.
Dari is wonderful.
She is wonderful. I got to tell you, she's terrific, and so are you, Steve. Okay, and again, I'm sorry about the Bills. Next year.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Next year, it's all.
I feel your pain.
We Bills fans are used to saying next year, and we're good at it, so.
Yeah, but this year was a good one. So all good. You're in Calgary now. So again, the answer to a Jeopardy question last week. So good for you. Everything's good. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Everything's great.
This was terrific.
Thank you for having us. Take care of yourselves out there,
everybody.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Dari Stevens. Okay, and Steve Messler from ClassroomChampions.org. Check it out. And we'll archive over at ace-ed.org, our consortium for equity and education. Join with us. It's free for educators. We'd love to have you along for the ride. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.